You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. Today we're discussing a project that connects the global history of the atomic age with the soil of the Pacific Northwest. Joining me in the studio is Mike Oxendine, an arborist and urban forester with over 20 years of experience. And since 2017, he's been working to germinate seeds from trees that survived the Hiroshima bombing to plant them in communities across the country. Welcome to the Exchange, Mike.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Also joining us is David Paul Hedberg. He's a historian and resident filmmaker at Northwest Documentary. His first featured film is titled The Seeds of Peace. It will be screened at Southern Oregon University on August 3rd at the Music Recital Hall at 6:30 p.m. Welcome to the Exchange, Dave.
Hi. Thanks for having us on.
Well, your work as a historian often focuses on archival research and the landscapes of the Pacific Northwest, right?
Yeah, that's correct. I've always been really fascinated with taking history out of the history books and grounding it back on the earth. You know, history is right around us. You can live, breathe, feel it right here.
So tell me about your new film.
Yeah, so the film is called The Seeds of Peace, and it follows the work of Mike Oxendine and Hideko Tamura Snyder, two folks down in Southern Oregon, and their remarkable effort to plant these seeds of peace. And these are little seeds from trees that survived the Hiroshima atom bomb. And they have helped spread those in over 55 communities across the state of Oregon.
Well, Mike, you've spent your career focused on urban forestry and environmental justice. How'd you first get involved with this mission to bring these specific seeds to Oregon?
No, that's a great question, and it's a full circle story, and I'll be brief about it, but I used to be the landscape supervisor here at SOU, and there's a little brick building down on the far side of campus that nobody ever comes to. It doesn't have any windows, steel door with a spray-painted label that says grounds on it. And 10 years of working here as the landscape supervisor, nobody had ever knocked on that door. And one morning while I was at work on the computer, I hear a faint knocking on the door, and I go open the door. And standing there is an 80-plus-year-old Japanese lady, and she's in tears, and she says, "You're my last hope, and I've gone everywhere, and I've asked people to help me acquire these seeds and propagate these seeds from the Hiroshima bomb survivor trees, and would you help me?" And I invited her in, and I listened to her story. And it was just dumbfounding to me that anybody had ever said no to this request. It was the most humbling, authentic request I'd ever gotten. And honestly, growing seeds and trees is our business, and so it's not a big ask. And through that, that was when I met Hideko Tamura Snyder, who was the one that was knocking on the door, and she told me about her survival story and why she's dedicating her life to nuclear nonproliferation and peace, and it's just been the honor of a lifetime to be involved with this.
That is an amazing story.
Thank you.
Dave, you captured this in a film. Tell me, how did you get involved?
Yeah, I think, you know, I have a real interest in storytelling and focusing on history through trees. I think it's a great way to kind of anchor that history, like I was talking about earlier. And so a lot of the projects I do involve storytelling through trees. And I think it was at just a board meeting of one of the other volunteer groups that I'm on, where I learned about this work that Mike and Hideko were doing. And I have a background in oral history, and I just kind of asked the question, is anybody following them and documenting what they're doing? And no one was. And so I kind of fell into it. This project called me and brought me on board. And just like Mike said, it's been, you know, the honor of a lifetime to get to follow these two folks and the resonance of their story in 55 communities across the state.
So Mike, this woman shows up at your door and says, "You're her last hope." And you respond. And now you both are planting trees all over the country. Give me a sense of how that transpired from the time that you met her to when you started doing this work.
Yeah, just one clarification. We're really focused on Oregon. We've only really planted the trees in Oregon so far. Some of them went down to California and have since been distributed elsewhere. So I guess that's a true statement that they are all over the country. But in general, we started planting these seeds. They grew up into these large ginkgo trees. And we didn't, at the time, I was transitioning jobs from SOU to Ashland Parks, and I didn't have a place to put these trees at that point. And so I was sitting on the board for Oregon Community Trees, and I brought this up at a board meeting, and I said, I need some help with this project. Would anybody want to help? And Jennifer Killian and Jim Gerspach on the board immediately raised their hands and were like, this sounds like a phenomenal project. How can we help? And through that, ODF got involved. Oregon Community Trees was involved. One Sunny Day Initiatives was involved. Green Legacy Hiroshima was involved. And it just kind of blossomed into this organic program where any Tree City USA recipient in the state of Oregon could apply to get one of these peace trees as long as they agreed to have a public ceremony and plant it in a public place with a plaque that commemorated the nuclear bombings and nuclear nonproliferation. And so, yeah, there's 55 communities from Ashland to Portland up the I-5 corridor, every city basically in between, from coastal communities like Florence, Oregon, over to La Grande and Elgin on the eastern part of the state. And so we have more peace trees planted in Oregon than anywhere outside of Japan.
That is amazing. Are there any unique biological challenges when you plant these trees?
One of the things that I love to draw attention to as an arborist and tree professional is that there are certain trees that through history have shown incredible resilience and adaptability, which is a leading reason that ginkgos were the closest surviving tree to the epicenter of the bombing in Hiroshima. And so the trees that we grew here are ginkgo trees, highly adaptable to all of these different environments, all these different climates. And so they're doing really well throughout the whole state.
If you're just joining us, my guests are David Paul Hedberg, a documentary filmmaker whose first film is titled The Seeds of Peace, and Mike Oxendine, an arborist and urban forester who is planting these seeds across Oregon that have survived the U.S. bombing of Hiroshima, Japan. A screening of Dave's film will be held at SOU's Music Recital Hall at 6:30 p.m. on August 3rd. Now, Dave, you said you utilize oral histories in your work. Tell me about this woman, this Japanese woman's personal history and how you captured it.
Yeah, I think, you know, early on, I went to some of these public commemorations and planting ceremonies and was really struck by Hidako's ability to, you know, stand up and tell what must have been a terribly traumatic story. She experienced the atom bomb when she was, you know, just 9 or 10 years old. And she lost her mother and her cousin, and suffered, you know, serious health consequences from it. And so to see her stand up time and time again publicly and give that testimony was really inspiring. But then as I got to know her too, I also realized that, you know, the toll of telling that story weighs heavy on her. And so through, you know, my training as an oral historian is kind of first, we want to do no harm. So in the interviews with her, I kind of let her guide where we'd go with that, those interview materials. And fortunately, I was able to pull upon a treasure trove of archival material from Hidako's past talks at, the University of Chicago, at Oregon State University, across the country, as she has given these talks over the last, 30 years. So we're able to use both contemporary footage, contemporary interviews, as well as oral histories from the past. And we also were able to utilize some oral histories of other Japanese Americans who were, American citizens at the time, but found themselves during the war, incarcerated in camps and then drafted into the U.S. military. And many of them had relatives who lived in Hiroshima. So these connections, it's a global story, and it really has a lot of deep connections back here between Oregon and Hiroshima.
And where is Hideko today?
She lives in Medford, Oregon. We premiered the film at the Ashland Independent Film Festival, and Hideko was able to come and see the film. And as a filmmaker, that's one of the most nerve-wracking things you can experience, is to have your primary character see the completed film for the first time, and at a film festival, nonetheless.
Well, will she be at the screening?
I'm not sure if she'll be able to make this one or not. She's been having some health problems, but I really hope that she is able to make it if she can.
Well, I know filmmaking is often a journey of discovery. Was there anything that you uncovered in the archives or through your research for this film that had some influence on your perspective of the legacy of Hiroshima?
Yeah. I think, as Americans, we're often kind of taught the history of Hiroshima, and, there's a very, very standard explanation that says, the bomb was necessary to end the war and it saved lives. And really spending time with Hideko's story and the story and the experience of a 9 or 10 year old girl, you really see the limitations of that explanation. There was no way that Hideko could be at fault. She wasn't responsible for starting this war. She just happened to be a child. And so I think it's really important for Americans to recenter their perspective and understand that war has terrible costs and terrible consequences to innocent children, too. And, while we can have one explanation of why the bomb was important, you must also platform and prioritize the experiences of the people underneath that bomb. And I think really her experience and the experiences of all the survivors of the bomb really does that. And it's important for Americans to, listen to those testimonies and feel that perspective.
And Mike, you're making that connection through the planting of these trees. How do these peace trees align with your goals for environmental justice?
Yeah, that's a great question, very deep question. I want to start by explaining that one of the coolest parts of this project took me outside the country for the first time in my life, outside to experience other perspectives like Dave's talking about and other stories. And we played this initial screening to gather feedback from survivors of the Hiroshima bombing in Japan. And we got to meet the arborists that have cared for these trees and made these cross-cultural connections, which is a huge part of the work that we do in equity, is like trying to figure out how we can best incorporate everyone's story into the work that we're doing, everybody's lived experiences, and invite everybody to the table. And so rounding it out, being able to go to Japan with Dave and Oregon Community Trees Ambassador Jim Gerspach was like the highlight of my career in learning about equity. I also serve on the Environmental Justice Council for the state of Oregon. And so the peace trees have gone from being planted in different communities with public ceremonies to there's a peace tree example that is planted outside the Portland State Penitentiary. And it's directly correlated with the incarcerated adults that have a peace garden inside the penitentiary. And hearing the stories, and you'll see it in the film, of how important it is to them to connect that message to their own struggles and compare it to the struggles that people have gone through rebuilding after Hiroshima.
These trees represent hope.
They represent hope. They represent resilience, rebuilding, and bringing people together of all cultures.
So if people want to get involved or support the germination of these seeds, how do they do that?
Right now, we have a second generation of peace trees growing at our climate resilient nursery here in Talent. And they won't be ready for the next couple of years. But when they are ready, we're going to be expanding this program for phase two.
Okay. And if people want to attend this screening, I have peacehouse.net. Is that correct?
Yeah,
peacehouse.net.
Yep. Okay. We're going to have to leave it there. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Thank you both for the work you're doing.
Thank you so much,
Mike. Thank you.